the song I'm going to sing for you is one that various renditions have been done of this song. It's about a fellow that had a pretty rough time finding the right one. And we've all heard this guy sung about many times, but this time it's a little different ending. Let's see, how does it start? John planned to be wed to a redhead named Red, but he had to go away. To Red he was true, but he thought she was too, till she wrote him a letter one day. Reading, dear John, I think the world of you, but I'm in love with someone new. I could marry one, but I can't marry two, so farewell to you, dear John. In Dublin one day he asked Kitty O'Shea if she would be his colleen. A letter she wrote, and inside of her note, sure, a shamrock was pressed in between. Reading, dear John, I think the world of you, but I'm in love with someone new. I could marry one, but I can't marry two, so farewell to you, dear John. Now Willa is Swiss and a muscular miss, from punching the holes in jeans. John asked her to wed, but she yodeled instead, and the echo came back on the breeze. Dear John, dear John, dear John, dear John, I think the world of you, but I'm in love with someone new. I could marry one, but I can't marry two, so farewell to you, dear John. Well, now he's got Sal, just a hillbilly cow. She's pretty, she's big, and she's dumb. She's learned how to fight, but she ain't learned to ride. So I reckon the letter will come. The world of you, but I'm in love with someone new. I could marry one, but I can't marry two. So farewell to you, dear John.
Bob, it's good to be here, get the chance to talk to the kiddies.
Well, I want you to know it's a real privilege to have you with us.
That's all right.
You don't mind if we call you Squinty?
No, it's fine. Everybody calls me Squinty. I never did know why exactly, but it's okay.
Well, thank you.
Go ahead.
Thank you very much.
It's all right.
Now, I understand that you've been hunting lions in these parts for quite some time. Is that true?
Yeah, I've been hunting up here for over 20 years, you know.
Is that a fact?
Yeah, that's right.
20 years. Boy, that's a long time.
Yeah, it is all right.
Boy. Well, now, tell me, I've also been told... I've also been told that you kill these lions with a club, that you've been doing it for so long that it's... just sort of second nature to you.
Yeah, Bob, I do that. I've been killing lions with a club now. Oh, it must have been around the last 6 or 7 years.
As a matter of fact. Well,
that's true.
Isn't that rather dangerous work, killing lions with a club?
Well, no, it isn't really. You see, there's about 40 fellas in this club, you know.
Yeah. Well, now... Is it really true? It's been reported that if you carry a flashlight while you're hunting these lions, why, they don't bother you. There's not as much danger. Is there any truth to that philosophy, or what can you give us on that, Squinty?
Well, I'd say it would depend on how fast you'd carry the flashlight.
That might make a difference.
It would make a lot of difference.
Yes, I can see that. Now, why is it that this hunting of mountain lions is so much more dangerous than hunting other animals, such as the coyotes and so on? There's some reason why that's such dangerous work?
Well, I'll tell you, Bob. The mountain lion, of course, is a member of the cat family, you know. They're always pretty mean, even the little ones. But Basically, the lion has no real enemies, you know, a natural enemy. Two known natural enemies of the lion, of course. The first one is the man. The man is a natural enemy.
That's right.
And here about 40 or 50 years ago, they imported a bird from the mountains of Himalaya mountains, you know. They got leopards over there.
Yeah.
And this bird is a natural enemy of the lion family.
Yes.
But they're very rare. I can't remember what they call them from over there, but here they call them the whirling gimpa. You see, this bird has about a 15-foot wingspan.
Hmm.
And it lives where the lions do, and it hangs over the trail where the lions walk, you know. Kind of watches them and finds out where they move around. So this bird spins in the air like a fan.
Oh, yeah.
And it spins faster and faster till, like the blades on a fan, you can't see it.
Is that
and all it sounds like is just the wind blowing through the trees.
Hmm.
Well, of course, the mountain lion comes tippy-toeing down the trail, looking for something to eat, you know, so a little something to chew on, and it hears the wind blowing through the trees, and it just all of a sudden blunders into this whirling bird. Well, this bird whirls so fast. Oh, it's terrible. They whirl so fast that it actually turns the lion into a liquid. And when this happens, why, this gimpa stops whirling and drops to the trail and drinks the mountain lion.
Wow, what do you know about
yeah, it's
that?
It's a terrible thing. It's dangerous, you know. It could happen to anybody along the trail. You got to be very careful. To hear the wind blowing, why, you don't want to go there.
All right, yeah. Stay out of the wind, in other words.
Yeah, it's bad for you.
Especially when it's hot air, I suppose.
Yeah.
Tell me, Squinty, do you ever hunt bear?
Well, I'll tell you, Bob, it gets a little nippy up here. An old Indian blanket around us or something like that. It's a little cold for that, you know.
Well, now, I understand that recently you had a rather close episode in this bear hunting, and I just wonder if you might take a few minutes and tell us just what happened. I don't believe I got all the details, but I know it was a rather narrow escape for you as a great hunter of these many years.
Well, I tell you, I really wasn't hunting a bear, you know. I was coming up to see John here, and I was coming down through the village down here, you know, and so I stopped off at the chocolate shop and got myself one of those malty milks, you know. And so I was taking the shortcut up through the woods there, and I stopped at the spring to get a little something to drink there, you know, just a little sippy sip there.
Yeah.
So I'm down there taking a little sip, and all of a sudden, boy, it's getting crowded. I mean, I hear something sipping right over here, see? So I look over here, and there it is, boy, a great big bear taking sips. Well, I'm a little picky about who I sip with, you know. So I give him a little nudge there, you know, get him out of the way, and he just gets madder than a nearsighted worm in the wax apple, you know. I thought, well, there's really no use of putting up with that sort of stuff, so I just figured, well, I'll just tippy-toe along. So I got up, and I was walking along real nice, and I just take a little squinty peek over the shoulder, you know, and there's the bear there, tippy-toeing right along with me. So I kind of upped the beat a little bit, you know. I'm not as nimble as I used to be. So I'm taking a little bigger step there, and I look back, and he's matching me stride for stride, you know. So we speed it up a little bit more, and I figured, boy, it's got to quit here pretty quick, you know. So he's still breathing right down the old neck there, you know. Ooh. So I lost my hat, you know, running again. So I see a tree over there. Oh, it's about 125 yards away. That's my limit, you know. So I really was picking him up and putting him down. Stride for stride, he's right behind me, see. And the closer I get, why, I see the first branch on the tree is about 16 or 18 feet up in the air there, you know. So, boy, with one mighty jump, I go for that limb. That's what I do, see, with the bear right behind me.
Well, did you make it, Squinty? Or?
Well, I tell you, I missed the limb, but I got it coming down, you know. I tell you, it's been nice.
Well, Squinty, it's been nice having you, and we wish you a lot of luck in your...
I hope you and the kiddies have a good time up here this weekend. And
well,
remember now, you watch the wind, see? Don't stay around where the wind's blowing.
Watch for the wind
blowing. Could be the birds, you know.
All right, fine.
We'll see you now.
Thank you, Squinty.